first, he decided to circumcise, as Jacob asked. It seems a little pity and not righteous to kill all people literally. There were no record about the result of these two sons. So what the teaching in this story? In Genesis chapter 34, the whole story mentioned about the daughter of Jacob was defiled because of Shechem. And later on, Shechem's father came to meet Jacob and tried to propose the marriage. And Jacob gave a suggestion that they have to give a circumcision because according to the Jew, all the men should receive the circumcision. Only with this condition, they can let the daughter to marry the Shechem. But actually, that is a trick. And later on, the brothers of the daughter, actually the son of Jacob, killed a lot of people of the in the Shechem. You can see chapter 34, verse 27 and 28 and 29. They even capture all their property, their woman and their child. Verse 30, Jacob told the two sons, you caused me to have a bad name among the people here. So later on, Jacob had to move to other location. So what is the teaching in this story? If you look into the sequence of the story of Jacob, and then you can find out later on we will discuss that. Jacob, even though tried to reconcile with his brother Esau, right? But what Jacob told Esau is different from what Jacob really did. What did Jacob tell Esau that he is going to go? Where he was going to go? In you look into the Genesis chapter 33. Genesis chapter 33, verse 15. Jacob replied to the suggestion of his brother Esau. Where was Jacob was going to go? Look into chapter 33. Verse 14. According to the pace of the cattle which are before me, and according to the pace of the children, until we came to the Lord in Seir. And later on, eventually, where did Jacob move? Verse 16. And Esau returned to the day on his way to Seir. Verse 17, but Jacob journeyed to, how to call it? Sukkot. And built himself a house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore, he named the place called Sukkot. Now, you think about Jacob. When Jacob come back to reconcile with the brother, he was a person full of tricky, right? So he was very careful, tried to defend himself with the most perfect way. How did he defend himself? He separated his own cattle and his own children for several groups, right? Because he thought If my brother saw the first group and killed the first group, I'm going to run. I'm the one who is the last, right? If the brother killed the second group, I still have the opportunity to run. So Jacob, after tens of years of training of God, grinded by God, still that kind of character never changed. He was very fearful about the retribution of his brother. And then, later on, everybody left, and Jacob is the last one who crossed the river. He's the last one who met the brothers. So don't do something bad. If you do something bad, even a stranger approaches you, you thought it is a detective, you thought it is a police, your conscience can never be clear. And then Esau invite Jacob with a heart of sincerity. Please come to the place I live. We can live together. We are brothers and sisters. But Jacob's heart was still very cautious, right? He thought maybe Esau is playing a trick. He invited them to stay there in the evening when I fall asleep, right? Use a big knife to cut my head off. So Jacob, just superficial, you were saying, okay, you just go first, because I have a lot of sheep. I have to follow the pace of the sheep. I walk slowly, I'm going to go to your place, right? But when the brother left, what did Jacob do? Jacob turned the direction, right? Go there. Don't stay together, because I'm not going to risk my life to stay with my brothers. And because of this, he did not follow his promise to his brother. He used a tricky answer to send the brother away. And then, 34, the tragedy happened. The daughter was defiled. If Jacob really follow whatever he promised to his brother, I think this tragedy will not happen. So, from the first chapter of the story of Jacob to the last chapter of the story of Jacob, you'll find always, Jacob is very smart person, but what? He suffered a lot from his own smart, from his own wisdom, because his wisdom is worldly wisdom, is not a spiritual wisdom. Now we are going to study that later on. Now there's another question. According to recent sermon, I think this sermon may be from me, I don't know. A person who is ready for marriage must be ready to leave or his parents, that is, to be independent, usually regard as the capability of taking care of oneself financially, successful marriage that does meet this qualification, however, have taken place. Which means that somebody starts still rely on parents' support financially. Marriage is still pretty good. And a couple who continue to live with their parents because they cannot afford outside housing. Couples who study abroad, still need the support financially from the parents. Are these people not following God's words? When they get married, or is this requirement just a rule of thumb when people start to consider if it is the right thing, right time to start looking for a spouse? Actually, the Bible says you have to leave your parent to clean with your spouse. Separate your parent to clean with your spouse. That is give you a principle, a guideline. That's not definitely in this way. For example, if a brother like a sister, and this brother just graduated, still in the process of looking for a job, and the sister is working, and the sister wants to marry a brother, it's okay, because that's only a temporary measure, and eventually the brother is going to get a job to support the family. The same thing, when your parents are very rich, can support you financially to study in United States, and you are reaching the age of getting married, you find a good spouse, you want to get married, it's okay. It's okay, that's a special circumstance. But usually, when a person wants to consider marriage, the person usually have to consider the independence from the family, financially, mentally, in every aspect. But there are some special case. There are some special case. So we are not using the special case to prove the contradiction between the teaching of the Bible and what happened in the church. But I think most of the people, when you are growing old, when you are mature enough, you will think, after you get married, you still rely on parents for a long time. You yourself will feel a little bit uncomfortable, right? Because you have become the head of the family, and you are asking the parent to support for a long run. It's not a good idea. But if in a short period of time, I don't think there's anything wrong. There's anything wrong. So to be independent is necessary. Okay. Now we come back to the story of Jacob. What is the face of Jacob? Is Jacob really has a person? Really a person who has faith? How do you know Jacob really a person who has faith? How do you know Jacob is a person who has faith? Because when his brother was hungry, at that time he was cooking, right? He exchange the food he was cooking for the right of the firstborn son. That is to prove that he refrained himself from the temporary satisfaction physically in exchange for the firstborn, the right of firstborn son in the long run. That proved he has faith. He believed that the firstborn right is far more important than a bowl of the soup. So this is to prove that he really has a faith. He was a person who has faith. And also this is a teaching, try to teach us, don't try to gratify your sensual desire temporarily and in exchange of losing your eternal life permanently. My third daughter one day came back home came back with a used calculator, a small one. I thought she was taking somebody's calculator out. And I asked her, where comes the calculator? And my daughter answered, I exchanged from my classmate. I asked her, what did you exchange? He said, I have candy. I used one candy to exchange the calculator. I was curious. I asked her, candy is sweet. How come you don't eat the candy and you exchange the calculator? My daughter answered, well, it's sweet. You put it into the mouth 2-3 minutes, it disappears. But the calculator I can use for a long time. I think I'm not smart, but my daughter is smart. He know. The candy put into the mouth is only 2-3 minutes and finish. And calculator, if you don't abuse it, you can use a few years. The same thing. You go after that kind of lust, sensual desire, sexual desire. That kind of happiness only lasts a period of time, a very short period of time. But what? You lose eternity, eternal life. It's not worth it. Don't do that. It's not worth it. To gratify your sensual desire, that moment, the sensual desire, and lose the firstborn right. It's not worth it. Don't do that. From the story of Esau, you can discover. Don't do that. And why Esau sold out his firstborn right? Because he kept on hunting and he was fainted because of his exhaustion of hunting. What does that mean? When you are really burned out, always you will make a wrong decision. Really you burn out a wrong decision. So you go to the grocery store, if the one who already in the shift for a long, long time, sometimes you give him $20 and they give you $90 back. Do you know why? Because he was exhausted. He took at 20, he thought this is $100 bill. fine, and they give you another $90. Really, one of the brothers give $20 in a grocery store, and the employee give him $90. He had a guilt conscience. He never thank God about this. He returned the money. Oh, that employee is very thankful to him, because if the brother did not return the money, he has to pay for it. Oh. So when a person really fanned out, exhausted, burned out, spiritually, this is a very dangerous sign. Oh. So Esau was a burnout of hunting. What does that mean, spiritually speaking? When a person comes to the church, everybody testifies, oh, God bless me, I have a very successful investment in mainland China. God bless me, I'm very successful investment in London. God bless me, I'm a very successful investment in United States. You keep on looking, huh? 1 year, 2, 3 years. This person, just like hunting. You shoot this and you get it. You shoot that, you get that. You have more desire to shoot more because you have a good skill, right? You're running around, you carry a lot of good stuff, come back. You are exhausted. So gradually, a person are very successful in the world, just like hunting, and spiritually become weaker and weaker and weaker. So the blessing of God, if you are not very careful, the blessing of God will cause the downfall of your spirituality. Another example of will cause downfall is, so Esau, he has no self-control, keep on hunting and exhausted, and then he sold out, he only become his firstborn right. So it's very important, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is what? Self-control. Of course, there are several ways to test whether you are filled by the Holy Spirit. One of the ways is when you go to the restaurant or all you can eat. Do you have the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Self-control. 2, 3 dishes, that enough. Don't try to, you paid $9, you want to eat up the food worth of $9. And you come back, your stomach ache, and you ask somebody to pray for you. And that's not right, huh? Self-control, because your body can only digest certain amount of food. When you full, then full. Don't eat more. But that's a small matter. Far more matter is what? In your worldly life, in your career life. Do you have self-control? That is to prove you, whether you are filled by the Holy Spirit. Yes, maybe you keep on adding the working hour. So a lot of people like to work an extra hour in a Saturday and Sunday. Why? Because the pay is double or triple. Nobody want to work extra hour in that time. But if you work extra hour, moonlighting, right? So-called moonlighting. You have no time to rest. And it will affect you. And no time to pray. It will affect you. You have no time to communicate with your spouse, with your children. So because you work hard, you earn extra money and you don't have good relationship in your family. So we are limited. Self-control is very important. So Esau make a mistake because he lack of self-control. And he fanned out and then he make a wrong decision. And on the other hand, Jacob was a very smart person. He know how to utilize the weakness of his brother and use one bowl of the Arabian soup. To exchange your firstborn right. And that's a very good deal, right? If anyone want to have this kind of deal, please tell me. One bowl of the soup, exchange your firstborn right. This is a good deal. But after Esau wake up, he start to have hatred toward his brother. When I was weak, he never remind me about my weakness. You take advantage of my weakness for your own benefit. He start to have that kind of hatred. But later on, Jacob, when his father was quite old, you all very familiar with story, right? Who suggest Esau to cheat his father in order to regain the firstborn right? Who? The mother, Rebecca, right? And Rebecca was supposed a person who was very, very spiritual, very beautiful, right? In and out, all spiritual. But when she was older, she suggested the son to cheat. So, that means the inner beauty, spirituality, You have to take care of your spirituality. So that you can remain that kind of good virtue forever. If you don't take care of that spirituality forever, even the good virtue will disappear. So marriage is a process. So a lot of people try to looking for a perfect spouse. And when you marry the spouse, you think the marriage will be perfect forever. No, it's nothing to say so. When you drive a car about 60,000 miles, you need to have some kind of alignment, right? Unless you drive a very excellent car. Because after a period of time of driving, the alignment has something wrong. The same with the marriage. After you get married with someone for a period of time, you need spiritual alignment. What do you mean spiritual alignment? Come back to the truth. Use the truth to adjust yourself so that your marriage can work properly again. So Jacob accept the suggestion of his mother and cheat the father Isaac. That is not good. And all because of Jacob, all because Jacob has the faith. He really want to have the firstborn run. He has the faith. So he used all different kind of means try to grasp the firstborn right. So his faith is right, but the means to reach the goal is wrong. So later on, Jacob suffered a lot. That kind of suffering was not prepared by God, was not caused by God. That kind of suffering was caused by his own wrong decision, by his own wrong way of handling his own business. Today we have to think about, your goal may be right. Your goal may be right. But do you use the right way to achieve your goal? That's very important. Even though you have a right goal, if you use the wrong way to achieve the right goal, you are going to bear the consequences of the wrong method. Achieving the right goal. Okay. There are many, many things in our daily life you can think about this. And later on, Jacob had no help, could not help but to leave his own family. His own family. How many different kind of suffering did Jacob have, encounter? How many different kinds of suffering did Jacob encounter after he cheated the firstborn right? The first one, what? The relation between his brother and him. Right? Broken for how many years? Almost 20 years. Broken. His heart can never be peaceful because the brother did not want to reconcile. How can his heart be peaceful? Right? The second suffering, he had to leave the mother who loved him the most. So once he left the mother, he did not see his mother forever. When he come back, the mother passed away already. Right? The third, this is the second suffering. The third suffering, when he went to his cousin's house, is a cousin? Uncle's house, his uncle's house. His uncle used more tricky way to treat him. I think that's the arrangement of God. So this is another kind of suffering. So the little part of Jacob's life actually suffered a lot. And through this kind of suffering, he tried to correct himself gradually. And then eventually when Jacob was in the advanced age, he improved himself a lot. And before Jacob left his home, one day he lay down on the wilderness. What happened? Let you turn to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. Verse 11. And he came to the certain place and stayed there that night, because the sun had set, taking one of the stones of the place and put under the head and lay down in that place to sleep. Verse 12. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up in the earth, and the top of the ladder reached to heaven, and behold, the angel of God was ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord of God of Abraham, the father, and the God of Isaac, and the land on which you lie will give to you and to your descendant. Verse 14. And your descendant shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad and waste to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And by you and your descendant all shall be familiar with the earth, bless themselves. So he saw the vision of the angel up and down, and he was really comforted, because he thought he was alone. But actually he was not alone. God was with him. I think this story comforted a lot of people. When you are really down, spiritually, you are really down, in a very adversary situation. At that time, you are very in desperation. You thought you are alone, but actually, God is with you. Don't worry, God is with you. So Jacob suffered because of his own wrong way to handle the business. The nowadays is the same. It is the same thing. Have you heard about somebody keep on commenting? If you look at brother and sister who is very good, what should you do? You need to take action now. If you don't take action now, maybe 1 year later, that brother and sister belong to others. All right? Have you heard about this? Yes. So some of you, look at sister, they feel very good. Then what? Chasing and chasing, chasing around. Right. Yes, maybe your goal is right, but you have to believe in God. If that one is belong to you, if you really have the faith, after 1 year, 2 years later, that still belong to you. It will never go away. Don't worry about that. So the goal is right, but the method you use should not be wrong. If you have the right goal, you use the wrong method, eventually you are going to suffer a lot. You are going to suffer it. That is only one of the examples. Don't worry. Anyone who is prepared by God, eventually it belongs to you. You will never go away. You should have faith about God. Don't worry. If anyone who really belongs to you, you stand aside and look. Anybody chasing him or her around. Eventually, he or she is getting tired of the one who chasing him around, and he or she is going to be interested in you. Why? Because he is the one God prepared. That is the reason. Really? So even though you have the right goal, the method you use should be the right method. Should be the right method. Because God has his own timing. I just mentioned before as the age advanced, maybe the value decreased. I have one supplement. Don't mistake my meaning. There are some God's will. And there are some people get married in 25 years old, and there are some people get married in maybe 35 years old. So maybe in the advanced age, not advanced age, in the older age. Maybe in the older age doesn't mean this person has a lot of condition. Doesn't mean this person is not spiritual. Maybe because God's will is to get married in 33. I get married in the age of 33. Okay, because God's timing is not ripe yet. But one thing is sure, important is use a godly method to solve your problem. What you can learn from Jacob. Okay. Now we go into the story of Joseph. The story of Joseph. Joseph was a quite unusual person. Can you describe the family background of Joseph? Can you describe the family background of Joseph? How many brothers did Joseph have? Huh? 11, right? Okay, so total is 12, become the 12 tribes. Okay. How did the father treat Jacob, Joseph? The father showed favoritism. He loved Joseph more than the other brothers. That is a problem. Right? And so later on, the brothers feel jealous about Joseph. Did Joseph have any choice? No, you have no choice, right? Well, you are born to this family. It's not because you make a choice, right? Because your father or mother give birth to you. So you have no choice. Come to this family. Well, when your father wants to give the favoritism to you, you have no choice, right? Because it is a decision of your father. When your brother wants to have jealous on you, you have no choice, right? Because you cannot control the heart of your brothers. Oh, so Joseph lived in that kind of family. He has no choice. But one thing he did have a choice, means whether he want to have a spiritual response or a worldly response to the environment, he can make a choice. And actually, Joseph was a very good person. Sheaves, right? All bow down to him. You are the Joseph, how do you feel? You feel wonderful, right? All the stars bow down, all the sheaves bow down on me, right? But according to the Bible, the words of God tested Joseph. Now, can you find where the Bible says the words of God tested Joseph? In the Psalm chapter 105. Okay, Psalm chapter 105, verse 17, 18, and 19. Psalm 105, 17, 18, and 19. He had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. Verse 18. His feet were hurt with the fetters. His neck was put in the collar of iron. Verse 19. Until what he has said come to pass, the words of the Lord tested him. Pay attention. Verse 19, the last word say, the words of the Lord tested him. What does that mean, the words of the Lord tested him? Because when Joseph was betrayed by the brother, sold to Egypt, right? In the house of Potiphar. And later on, in order to keep the words of God, to please God, Joseph was thrown into the jail. And Joseph lie down on the bed of jail, keep on thinking, when I was young, God told me I'm going to be, what? Be great person in my family. Do you see all the sheep, all the stuff bow on me? How come today I'm lie down here? Where is God? Is that true or is that false? The words of God tested Joseph. Because the circumstance he faced is different from God revealed, the will of God who revealed to him in his early stage. The words of God tested him. Okay. But did Joseph complain? Did Joseph complain? In the whole Bible, you feel Joseph was a very unusual person. He never complained to God. And he never resented his brother. He never have self-pity about himself. I'm very pitiful. How come I'm so pitiful? Never. You can see the Bible. He never show pity to himself. He has two sons, right? One is called Malasi. One is called what? Ephraim. What is the meaning of two sons? One of the meaning is what? God make me prosperous in Egypt. Another name meaning what? God let me forget my suffering. So actually he has suffering in Egypt. But God make him forget the suffering. He suffered a lot. Oh, he never feel pity for himself. Now, that is the faith Joseph have. Now, what is the faith? During the time of suffering, you still believe that God has his plan to you. You still believe God has his best plan to you. And because of this, you still thank God and never complain, and waiting for God to fulfill his plan. That is faith. So after about more than 10 years later, all of a sudden, when Joseph was elevated to become the prime minister, and he looked back the past experience, he said one sentence, very important, one sentence. Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. Verse 16. Genesis chapter 50, verse 16. The last chapter, huh? So they send a message to Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, forgive, I pray you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin. Because they died evil to you. They did evil to you. And now, we pray you, forgive the transgression of the servant of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Okay. Later on, Joseph become a prime minister, right? At that time, Joseph did not do any revenge. And when the father died, and the brother Joseph started to be fearful, be scared, because what? They thought that Joseph did not do revenge because for the sake of the father. Right now, the father died already. Now Joseph is going to do the revenge. One day, you see, we sold him to Egypt, right? Oh, this is a very, very great transgression. Oh, so they ask Joseph, send somebody to ask Joseph, please do not do the revenge. Oh, please do not do the revenge. Then what's the answer of Joseph? 19. Verse 19. But Joseph said to them, "Fear not, for I am in the place of God." Am I in the place of God? Verse 20. "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, and to bring it about that many people should kept alive as you are today." So Joseph understand, your will is wrong, because you want to harm me, you want to betray me. But God's will is good. He wants to send me here to prepare the food for you, so today you can be alive. So from here you can understand the fact, if a person is godly, if a person really trusts himself to God, nobody can change the faith of this person. No. Because the faith of the person is under the hand of God. Superficially, they sold Joseph to Egypt. Superficially, they harmed Joseph into the prison. But all of this just served as a stepping stone for Joseph to become a prime minister. No. So Joseph's faith. What does that mean, Joseph's faith? His faith means he believes in God when he encounters something which he cannot understand. When he encounters something which he really suffers, he still be thankful. That is his faith. So today, what does that mean to us? I don't know whether you have heard about, sometimes we have heard about another comment, this member comment, today I become this kind of stage. Because the wrong of my brother, the wrong of this, and the wrong of that, and the wrong of this, so today I become what I am. Because a lot of people are wrong, right? Just like you go to a factory, right? The first technician make a wrong temperature. The second technician make a wrong switch. The third technician make a wrong adjustment. So later on, the product come out is a product defect. So a lot of people try to blame the other people about what they are today. Oh, if this person is a person who is had no faith, yes, we can accept this kind of theory. But if we are a godly person who believe in God, then we have to reject this idea. Now, if we are really walking in the path of God, nobody can change your faith. Chinese say 不倒翁. Do you know what is 不倒翁? Well, how to say in English? You see the toy played by the children, right? Have very low gravity. They put some kind of iron, a piece of iron on the bottom, very low gravity, right? You push the toy, it seems downwards, right? And eventually the toy will stand up because the gravity is very low, right? That's the point what I to say. If God really abides in you, it seems somebody push you down, but you can see eventually you're going to stand up. Nobody can push a person down, the one who really has the abidance of God. Can you remember another spiritual figure? Nobody can defeat him. Daniel is the same, right? They try to harm Daniel, right? And ask the king to give a decree. Anyone, if ask anything apart from the king, should be thrown into the den of lion. And the king put on a seal. But Daniel was a righteous person who walked on the path of God, who feared God, who prayed every day. He kept on opening the window. When you are in a living in that environment, if you want to pray, always close the window, right? Put on the curtain so when you pray, the noise will not go out. Daniel opened the window facing Jerusalem. Hallelujah, keep on praying. Because he was very faithful to God. And then what? Later on, he was arrested and thrown into the lion den. What happened? God sent the angel, right, to cover the mouth of lion. The second day, the king go to the lion den. Daniel, I think out of guilty conscience, maybe he's just sick. Daniel, and all of a sudden, Daniel inside, I'm here. I think the king may be shocked. Whether there's real Daniel or there's some kind of ghost inside. Daniel is the same person. Somebody tried to harm him, but eventually, he was not harmed. So if you are really a person, walk on the path of God. You are really close to God. God really abides in you. Don't worry. Nobody can alter your path. Nobody can change your fate, can change your destination, because you are in the hand of God. That's what we can learn from Joseph. So Joseph was an unusual person. When he was rich, he never lived a corrupted life. When he was in the trial period, he never complained. This is a very unusual person. We have to learn. Sometimes, I look upon others. I always think, how come other people are so healthy? I'm not as healthy as that person. Sometimes I think, how come other people are so rich? I'm not as rich as that person. How come other people are so knowledgeable? I'm not as knowledgeable as the other person. And later on, I come up with a conclusion. Because I'm not worth or 配不得, 英文怎么讲? I'm not worth it. Do you know a lot of people are very rich, very humble. If I put my shoes on that person's feet, I'm so rich. Millions of US dollars, a lot of property, what kind of person I am. Maybe I will look down on the heaven and keep walking a different way. Let me think about, if I am a person who has a lot of PhD degree, what kind of person am I? Maybe I will look down a lot of people who never educated. If I am a person who was very healthy, never sick, maybe I will be the person never sympathize those who are sick. Why you are sick? You are supposed to be strong, right? So the reason today why you are what you are, I think because in the eyes of God, you can only receive this kind of blessing. So from the story of Joseph, I have this kind of feeling. He was in a prime minister. He never indulged in abuse his own authority. He was in adversity. He never hate others. He never complained to God. He never sympathized him in different kind of environment. He always, always, you can see he is a godly person. That's what we have to learn.